Well, it's 4 o'clock. I think I'll wait just a minute or two more. Well, maybe I can just read the statement of anonymity for everyone, because most of you have heard it before. I'm Pam, compulsive eater, by the way. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and other media of communication. Thus, we respectfully ask that C House speakers and members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio recordings or in published or broadcast reports or meetings, including those on the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our effort to help other compulsive eaters who may wish to share our recovery program with us. Our tradition of anonymity reminds us that CEA Howe principles come before personalities. A further note about anonymity. Out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the events at the Global Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of CEHOW members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognizable photos of individuals. Please do not post recognizable photos of individual CEHOW members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. We thank you for your cooperation in observance of our traditions of anonymity. As I said, I'm Pam. I'm a compulsive eater and a member of this wonderful organization for 17 years. I have recommitted abstinence for 3 years and 3 months, and I have lost a total of 180 pounds on this program. And the last 10 pounds, ladies and gentlemen, if there are any, the last 10 pounds are the hardest, so no matter how much you have to lose, you've always got to get through that last 10 pounds. So I don't feel I'm any different from someone who has to lose 5 pounds who comes into this program. To give you a little background on myself, since not everyone's here yet, I was raised in a family that I had a rageaholic father and a codependent mom who had to take care of him at all costs. And then he was physically abusive to my two older brothers. Never touched me, but I always felt that I was next. So I had a lot of fear growing up. Also, I want to qualify to say that I have an autoimmune condition. I don't produce a lot of saliva, so I'm sipping water from time to time if you see my mouth get all poochy. Fear was something that I lived with a lot, and also I was not allowed to have feelings unless they were happy. Happy feelings were allowed, but anything where I was angry or tense or needed answers to things, when I questioned things, that brought on rage a lot of times, particularly if my dad didn't have the answer. And so that's where I come from. Enough about me. But today, I feel happy, joyous, and free. And I'm so happy to be of service here today to talk about the promises, talk about choice. I believe that in order to be successful in this program, you have to choose it 100%. And that means knowing why you're here, understanding that, and desiring to have what everybody else has. I will tell you also that when I was in this program for the first probably 23 or 24 days, I hadn't told a soul what I was doing. I came in thinking this was another diet. I'd done every diet. I didn't believe diets worked, but I was willing to give one more try to this thing. And somebody told me in the meeting, you have to do it exactly as written. And I was damn determined to prove it wrong. So in order to do that, I had to do it as it was written. and I did. About 24 days into the diet, as I called it at the time, I ran into someone from work, and she said to me, I don't know what's going on with you, Pam, but you seem so much happier. And I was like, oh my God, I felt naked. But at the same time, it was true. I was happier. Getting that addiction, those drugs, sugar and flour, out of my system relieved me so much. And so I had to choose in. There was no other option for me. Today I look at my life and I say, is this the life that I've chosen for myself? Is it exactly what I want? And the answer is no. And the answer is also, if I want something different, I have to choose what it is I want. And I have to be willing to say, if I don't have it, I'm making excuses. Because I have to change in order to have it. And change is hard. Change is where a lot of times you get stuck in the fear and you can't change. People mostly, you know, a lot of people don't ever change. They stay in the same crummy job, the same crummy relationship, the same whatever, the same eating pattern, if you will, because they're afraid to change. Our program teaches us that change is inevitable if you're in this program. But the good news is, I think the best news of this program is, giving up doesn't work. It's never worked. I was abstinent for 5 years, honeymoon period. And at the end of that 5 years, I started to take back my own will. And when I did, I could not get back to those first 30 days for a long time. I was always in the seat. I can say that. That was my only hope, because I knew this was the program that would work for me. But so if I walked out of the rooms, I wasn't coming back. And as I said, I knew diets didn't work, and I knew this was different. So I put my butt in the chair, and I went to my meetings, and I was, you know, in and out of abstinence for a long, long time. I mean, I think I got as much as a year or maybe 2 years, sometime in there, but it took a really long time for me to get back to where I am today. So I don't recommend it. That's the answer. I guess my question is to you, first of all, why are you here? If anybody would just like to share in a few sentences, if you do want to share, come up and put your name, sign your name up here for the press release, because these are being recorded. Is there anyone who wants to tell me why they're at this convention?
Hello, everyone. I'm Gloria Gray from Compulsive Overeater. I have been coming to these conventions every year for the past, probably since 2011, if not more. And the reason why I come to these conventions is it gives me balance. And I can so identify of the slipping and falling. But the thing that happens with this is that I keep my butt in the seat. And when I came to San Diego, they were gonna have a foam bridge workshop. It didn't go through. So two of us decided to go anyway from Dallas, and we went. And what a gift. People, we went to a San Diego meeting, and the lady said, whatever you do, keep your butt in the seat. But the gift was the same people that I met on Phone Bridge and the same people I met here, guess what? They embraced us the same way. So no matter what happened, they came, they took us places, they did things. So this is my extended family, but or I'd rather say the family I never had, because I can show up just like I am. I don't have to worry about status. I don't have to worry about, oh, cousin, you know I'm doing this. It's not about that, because we're on the same journey together. And that journey is recovering and embracing life on a day-to-day basis. And that's why I keep coming back. That's why I keep coming to these conventions every year, because it gives me life and it gives me balance. And last year, even though this year I'm getting a new teacher, last year was the best year I had at my job. And I don't know when. And even when I told, she said, I'm not coming back. I said, do what's best for you. Because why? Because I have a place that I'm accepted and I can stay balanced and I don't have to let what's outside of the circle bother me today. So that's what keeps me in.
Terrific. Thanks very much. Go ahead. Didn't see you coming.
Just a reminder, when you're up here, you need to be speaking closer to the mic so that they can record and hear you and everything. That's what they told us in other years. And I just come to get recharged. And most of all, I use the Phone Bridge a lot, and it's just so much fun to come here and put faces and names together. And it just touches my heart, and it fills up my camera, makes me go and recharge the battery and everything. But not only does the battery on my phone get recharged, I get recharged. And I, too, have had my ups and downs and years of abstinence and then going away. And you know, it took a sponsee to get me back to the program because she wanted to go to the Catalina retreat. And I said, ugh, you know, I'm back up to too much weight and that's too hard to put my shoes on and everything. And she said, you know what to do, so get back with the program. And I came back, and this time I came back as a vegan because I had another friend who was doing that, and I love it. It's been over 3 years now, and again, it's not perfect. I think I got like 250 days of recommitted abstinence, but I just love it, and I love being here, and I love you all, and thank you all for coming.
I'm Yvonne. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Yvonne.
And I've been given the promise of when you see others have joy, I get the reward. And when I keep coming to conventions and workshops and things because I look at these people and they're all happy and joyous and having a good time. And all I do is visualize what is their other choice. And to me, it would be in a fetal position, laying on a couch with much more, not just weight, but emotionally despair. I don't know, I don't even hardly know some of the negative things anymore that I had, but the depression, the frustration, the hopelessness, you know. And so today, when I see all these people, I myself am affirmed that I love this spiritual way of life, which is the 12 steps. That it affirms, but it also affirms that this particular program does give to others happiness, joy, and freedom, and I get to be joyful to see that in a large group. Thanks.
I'd like to also find out, just from the room, by show of hands, how many of you have less than 3 months of abstinence? Well, you're in the right place. Congratulations. And how many have more than 3 years of abstinence? Terrific. Something to look forward to. The reason I ask is because I worked with steps 4 and steps 10, taking a fearless moral inventory, and step 10, which is continuing to take personal inventory, daily inventory. to, and it's really to find, it's really for growth. Both of those are to help us in our growth in this program. The program, when we come in, I think for most of us, we come in because of a number on the scale, and we're looking for a number on the scale. And when we get to the, even if we get to the number on the scale, we think we're finished. We think we will be finished. But that's not so. That's the beginning. And to keep that number on the scale, we have to continue to work this program even more vigorously than we did before, sorry. Because you can't keep it if you don't work it. And I think that the way, there's lots of tools for working this program. You need to use them all. There's seven tools of the program. And for me, if I'm not working them all, if I'm not doing the meetings, making the phone calls, reading and writing, all of the tools of the program, I don't heal. And I am always looking forward to healing myself. And, you know, there's a lot of coaching that can happen in this program. Sponsorship. A sponsor is really a coach for you. You're so lucky if you get a sponsor and keep a good sponsor. Get one that works for you. I think that, a coach is someone who tells you what you don't want to hear sometimes, shows you what you don't want to see, and helps you to be the person you already know you are inside. And I think that that's, a wonderful thing. And the other thing about maintenance, when you do get to maintenance, there's a saying, but it's something like, gives you 57 problems. And when you solve those problems, he gives you 57 harder ones. And that's this program. Not that they're harder, but they're more intense, because as we grow, we have the ability to grow more. If we depend on our higher power, our sponsor, outreach, inventory, and those things, when we align the physical and the emotional and the spiritual parts of our program, what happens is it kicks us into another gear where everything is possible. And if you work the program, you can do whatever you want, but it's your choice. It's all about your choice. So I wish you abstinence, and I wish you long-term abstinence. The reason that people can't get it is because they've made a choice not to get it. There's no excuses, you know? I mean, you know, the fairest measurement is results. Always fair, but often harsh. If you want it and you're not getting it, you aren't choosing it. Because if choice leaves all matters on the table. You know, you can have intention from now till doomsday, but if you don't use the tools, you don't have the mechanism to get you where you want to be, in my point of view. Everybody uses excuses all the time, in every walk of life. The bus was late. My husband forgot to tell me. I was on vacation and I couldn't get an abstinent meal. I was at a wedding, it was my daughter's wedding. You've heard them all. I was on a cruise. What can I do? I paid all this money and there's all that food. I got fired. You know, I'm miserable. Well, what excuses have you used in the past Those of you that slipped, what was the excuse that you used? Somebody share.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shelley, bulimic compulsive eater in recovery. I slipped because in 1989 I came in and I had 5 years of recovery. And thank you, God, I haven't had to throw up since then. But it turned out that my ex-boyfriend, ex-fiance, got into a bit of trouble. And he went to prison for plotting the murder of his wife. And as a result, I didn't think he was guilty. Rather than stay, and everybody in the rooms knew him, rather than stay and allow the group to support me, I left because I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think, you know, my idea when I first came into program, I was in my mid-30s, and I believed that the promises were I was going to meet a rich man, I was going to get married, you know, reaching out, and I would have, you know, and life would be great. And that I had, it was a really good learning experience for me. You know, it was a really, really, really good, I got the rich guy, I had the 10,000 square foot home, my kids were in private school, and my life was unmanageable. And today, I know, I have, right now I have, and I stayed away for a while. It took me a while. The road had to get narrow, and my struggles had to get worse before I was able to come back. And I came back and you embraced me. And I have 12 years and almost 7 months recommitted abstinence. And I work this program, thank you, like my life depends upon it. And my second bottom before I came back was worse than having a boyfriend. I ended up sleeping in my car. And my lesson was, I had to learn that I had to take care of myself first before everybody else. And I have the doctorate in psychology, the t-shirt, and the breakdown to prove it. So that has been what I've worked on. And listening to some of the voices, identifying those disease voices in my head, and listening to that intuitive voice. And I'm willing to change and grow and to learn, because I want to be the best me that I can be for my grandchildren, let alone for myself. First comes God, then comes me, then comes everybody else. You know, and this convention has just, I've really got to work on some of my stuff in my head, you know. And I know I have a choice to, I can either stay where I was, or I can grow. And today I choose to grow. Because if you don't grow, you go in this program. It's just the way it is. So thank you.
Hi, everyone. I am Alicia. In a couple of years on the phone bridge, I heard this share that really has become very helpful for me. And it was something like this. A slip is a process, not an event. And what I visualize for myself is like a ball rolling. If I let the ball continue to roll, it's going to get more force. So when I encounter stressful situations in my life, I just ask myself, how far am I going to let this ball roll? I have a choice, like it has been said here. If I'm walking into a difficult situation, I know I'm walking on rocky ground, and I need to practice more detachment and more self-care. And that, by God's grace, has been able to keep me from digging into the food. A day at a time, I do realize that I can always make a U-turn and begin all over again emotionally, because for me everything begins in my head and then becomes something tangible. And just a day at a time. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about inventory. And inventory is really scary for a lot of people, and it's a time when many people leave our program. Taking a really fierce look at your life from childhood, adolescence, and adulthood, it's a very scary thing. It's not so scary as scary writing it as it is to have to give it away. But be fierce. Be fierce is what I say. Get as deep as you can get where you are. Not everybody's at the same place. Not everybody's ready. But as you're ready, work with your sponsor. Share your fears. Because fears, when they're confronted, are cowards. So look at your life as deeply as you can and give that inventory away. It puts your social instincts, the 12 and 12 tells us that if your social instincts are out of whack, it causes you to depend too much on people, or tends to make you lord it over everybody else. You're better than. I always vacillated between the two. I was either the best thing since sliced bread, or I was the biggest piece of crap in the world. There was never any happy medium. Inventory helped me to understand that I'm okay. Today I think I'm okay, but there are times when I don't think that. And that's when I have to get harder into my program and continue to work the work, because we are all unique. We are all creatures of our higher power that are here for a reason. What's your purpose? What's your purpose here? What's the purpose that will make the world a better place because you're in it? And when you find that out through working the steps and continuing to work the steps and being of service and being of more service, because there is a point to your being here, some reason why God put you here or whoever it is that you believe in. And your higher power can be God. It can be the universe. It can be the group in the program. Use them all. Use whatever you need to get to that higher power. When I was first in program, I had a real tough time with the spiritual side of this program. I don't have a traditional higher power per se. But I did use the group a lot at that time. I've developed a higher power over time. And I now use my higher power much more than I ever did. I have a ways to go. I have a long way to go. But I work on it on a daily basis. I work on getting better. And I always say, you don't have to be sick to get better. We're all great just the way we are and where we are on the path. Everybody's on a different place on the journey. But for me, if I don't have that higher power in my life, I take over and I mess it up really, really greatly. I can really mess it up. So I have to check in and make sure that I'm on the right path. Things that you might be afraid of, that fear make you do, hoard money. Depend on somebody to take care of you, or want to dominate someone because you're afraid of, what they might do if you let them out from under your thumb. And that can be kids, that can be spouses, can be boyfriends, whatever. Friends, just friends. We believe that our problems are caused by other people. When we come into this program, the reason I'm 350 pounds is because, you know, nobody would follow the rules, and I got, you know, I could give you every excuse in the book, but, you know, I overate, but, you know, there's something wrong with me. I have to eat because, you know, nobody will take the time with me. Nobody likes me. Guess I'll eat some non-abstinent food. but the truth is, it was my choice to be where I was, and I had to change. I just had to change, and I hit bottom at 350 pounds, and I said, "I give up." You know, I'd gone to a program. The final straw for me was I went to a program that told me I could eat anything I wanted, just to stop when I was full. I was paying a lot of money for this program. And she was a well-known writer. And she said, just, you know, you will eventually choose. Your body will choose for you things that are healthy for you. Well, I paid her a lot of money for a few months. And I said, when was this going to happen? And she said, it will. Don't worry. Just, you know, keep on the road. Well, she evidently hadn't ever dealt with anyone with a carbohydrate addiction, because that's what I have, or an allergy, or whatever you want to call it. But that's what we have, is, you know, we're in this mess first because of that, but secondly because of what's between our ears. So we have to deal with the addiction first, and then we have to continue to work on our heads and how can we fix the rest of us. Once we fix our bodies, we have to keep working on fixing ourselves. Step 10, which tells us to continue to take personal inventory, a daily personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. We have to clear the path. I have been doing daily inventories for quite a while now. I used to do them once a month, something like that. But in the last, probably the last 6 months, I started doing once a week. And in the last 6 months, I've been doing them much more often. I can't say every day, but almost every day. And what a personal inventory is you take a sheet of paper. I've got handouts for you if you want them. And it's real simple. You just draw a line down the middle of any page you're working on. And you say, what I accomplished or what I did well today. And someone told me you should have at least three things on there. Everybody does at least three things well, maybe more. Maybe you had a really good day and you have to use two pages. But then the other more important side is, if I could do something differently today, what could I have done to make it an even better day? And it could be that, you know, you spoke harshly to someone, or, you know, you name it. If I could do it differently, I would be gentler with this employee that I worked with. If I could do it differently, I would forgive myself for something I did today. All of those things are so important. I think I'll pass this out now, since there's not too many of us in the room, and you can do a daily inventory. You can work on something that happened this week or yesterday. And I'll give you a few minutes to write, and then we'll come back and you could share some of those things. I was in a meeting this morning where someone else did this, but you can't do too many of these as far as I'm concerned. So, everybody done? Okay, who'd like to share? Thank you.
I am Beth L. Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Beth.
I wrote a few things down. I had the opportunity to write some this morning, and more has happened since that morning session. I've had to move rooms because of a bug infestation problem, and I was accommodating with the necessary means for that. I was able to make lunch earlier for myself, so I had time to eat during lunch transition. I was able to speak eloquently with God's help, and I'm more accepting about some issues that happened yesterday, and was able to speak with somebody and pray for that person regarding a concern they had. And many people have complimented me on my share, and I feel like I've been able to say it's really God speaking through me in humility, and I'm grateful for that. If I could do something differently, I think I would have been a little bit more courteous to my roommate regarding moving different rooms. She was very gracious for my acceptance, but I feel like my attitude could have been a little bit different. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Terry, compulsive eater. Okay, what I accomplished and did well today, I took care of myself by texting the hospitality committee and saying I didn't want to be here at 8, even though last night I said I would, because I really wanted to swim laps this morning. So I did that. Okay, then after lunch, after the speakers, I went back and I took a nap because I saw I was very tired. I think it was, I drove here by myself from LA and it was, it wore me out a little. I engaged in no Lashon Hara, which is Hebrew for gossiping. So I know that this whole day I have not. And I spoke to a woman I met this morning nicely, and I learned tips of eating and so on. So it was a good conversation. If I could do something differently, I just thought of this just now, but while I was swimming, I wouldn't have spent most of the half hour beating myself up about that text and not going to hospitality. I think I might have made a choice and then not decided to spend so much time in my head over it. I would be done with any envious or judgmental thoughts, and I would reach out more.
Okay. Anyone else?
One other thing I wanted to talk about is what doesn't get things that don't get you what you want. I think, you know, I talked about not changing doesn't get you what you want, but also making excuses for whatever you're doing or whatever's happening to you, blaming other people for what's going on in your life. If you're, you know, if you're having a hard time at work, Beth gave me permission to talk about her share at lunch where she lost a job, and she didn't make an excuse for why she lost that job. You know, it wasn't these people did this and that and everything else to me. She looked at what she could do to change because she had this program. And she took responsibility for the fact that she was not a victim, but that she lost this job, and now in the next job she had, she was going to do better. And then the second job, she got the same review again. Well, gosh, she didn't say, come on, it's not me. And I know people that have done that. They've been 5 or 6 different jobs, and they lost it, and it was always blaming someone else for what their misery was. Well, after 5 or 6 jobs, you got to really start to look at yourself. Beth was really lucky. She only had to do it. She didn't even start blaming herself the first time. She didn't start blaming them the first time. She started blaming, not blaming, but figuring out what she had to do to get better. It's always such a better path. That's what works. We have to look at ourselves. Don't keep complaining about what your husband, son, daughter, friend, whatever, coworker is doing to you. Start thinking about what is it about me that I can't handle what's happening here. And I think, you know, if we turn it around and say, you know, attitude is everything. If I change my attitude, maybe things will change. If I change the fact that, I'm coming to work 10 minutes late every day. Maybe if I came to work on time, people wouldn't be criticizing me. You know, if I was nicer to people, you know, maybe they wouldn't, you know, if I wasn't lording it over people, if I wasn't acting better than, if I wasn't acting less than, that doesn't work either. So don't make excuses. Don't blame other people for what's going on. Figure out what you can do to change yourself, because the only person we can change in this world is us. The world is not going to change until we change. So if there's something you don't like about the world, you got to change something about you. If there's something you don't like that your kids are doing, you've got to change you. It works. I mean, I have found it to work all the time. If I'm miserable, I got to fix me to not be miserable. And when I change myself, the world is a much better place. It happens every time. And we can bring peace in the world if we change ourselves. I really believe that. Quit needing to be right. That's a big one. Oh, my gosh. Continue to work on that, because that was a big one for me. You know, I'm right, and if I'm wrong, it's because of somebody else. You know, they didn't give me the right information. But so I go from victim to miserable person, you know, better than. So be of service. You know, continue to be of service in everything you do. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today, but I'd like to hear from you as to what works for you in getting out of victim and into being responsible. How have you changed since being in program to be more responsible?
Hi, everybody. I'm Shelley Belima, compulsive eater in recovery. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a long journey for me, and the big thing for me is I had to change everything. And what I've been doing that has really helped me, because I find when the inside changes, the rest change. I've learned to identify a lot of the times the voice of the disease and the intuitive voice. That really helps me, you know, that God consciousness. And I'll give you an example. I have a history of worry, and I'm really way better than I used to be. And so when I got into worry, because my life that goes on with all my jobs and my family and all that, when I'm not here, is different than it is here. But turning off that hamster wheel was hard for me, you know, thinking about this, you know, am I going to lose my job because I'm not there and I took time off and, you know, all those crazy voices. And so finally, I said to myself and to God, I said, look, I said, you know, because I have to dialogue with myself to help myself. I said, Shelley, you have a choice. You can either suffer or you could just be in the moment and enjoy yourself, or something to that effect. You know, because that voice, if I buy into it, then it gets stronger. There's a story about an Indian wives' tale about these two wolves. And it was about a white wolf and a black wolf. And the father said to the child, which one is going to live? And I don't remember. They went through all these adventures. It's an Indian story. And the boy, you know, she said, which one do you think will live? And the Indian chief said, the one that you feed. And so, you know, that has really helped me, because the voice that I feed gets stronger, and the voice that I let go of, it gets weaker. And so that's what I've had to do, you know. And I'm way more relaxed than I've been in a long time, because I'm really trying to hone into that internal voice. And I'm not perfect. This is a process of trial and error for me. You know, I don't know anything more than anybody else. I'm just another person in recovery, and just, this is what's been helping me through my time here. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm glad I told that story about the wolves. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive eater. And thanks, Pam, for this workshop and for this subject. I came in a little late, so you may have already said this. I don't know. But one of the things I so appreciate when you talk about choice is in working this program, rather than saying, I have to get abstinent, I have to get abstinent, I choose to be abstinent, I choose to get abstinent, or I have to change this behavior, I have to do this, I choose to act in this way, I choose to act in that way. And that changes, that shifts my perception of what I'm doing so strongly. It's my choice. I don't want to be here and white knuckle. You know, I'm all about feeling good. If being here didn't make me feel better, I wouldn't be here. And I don't want to be here and white knuckle. So at the 12 and 12 says that when we get to step three, that turning my will and my life over to the care of a higher power may allow me to be abstinent, but it takes more than that to live a life of happy, joyous, and free, and that's the rest of the steps. And so the choice is the thing I choose is recovery, and to do what is required to be in recovery and to be happy, joyous, and free. If I choose the behavior, I choose the consequences. It's as simple as that. It's my choice. If I choose to work this program, the consequences are that I am happy, joyous, and free, and I have a happy life. And, and also, I just want to say, I am perfect. No, you know, I heard someone say in these rooms, and I just love it, that we're the only people in the world who think we need to go up to people and say, I'm not perfect, you know. I mean, where else would we do that? I'm not perfect. Anyway, I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks.
My name is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
And I say I'm imperfectly perfect. I used to say everything was perfect, but now I'm imperfectly perfect. You know, I love this topic of choice and accountability. You know, I was abusive to my husband when I was married for 7.5 years, and I realized that I was abusive to him because I was abusive to myself. And so when I got in recovery back in 2009, I hit my goal weight in 2010 for the first time in my life, got divorced and quit my job all in the same month of July 2010. And so my whole life completely changed, the way that I thought, the way that I interacted, the way that I took responsibility. I truly believe that the reason why it ended up in divorce was because you know, and actually my former husband admitted this too. We did a radio show together a couple years ago, and we talked about this. He says, I just wasn't moving fast enough in taking responsibility for what happened. And it was beautiful for us to be able to come back together and say, okay, this is what I did, this is what you did, this is the mess that we've created, and things like that. And so I really look back on this daily inventory to be able to look at where, because I'm imperfectly perfect, I'm going to make choices every single day that may lead me closer or further away from recovery. And I love being able to have a program to teach me that it's okay, you know, go and make amends, clean your side of the road. And grateful to be able to not beat myself up over anymore, over what I did or what I didn't do. or what I created. And I remember I was going through the steps at the time I was going through a divorce, that I was making my amends, and I wrote this big, huge email to my former husband, and we were not divorced yet. And my girlfriend next door to me was in recovery as well. And I finished this, I just bled. I always say I write till my soul is done bleeding, right? And I just, I let everything out. And all of a sudden, my finger hit the key and erased my email. I was devastated. I was like, so I went next door to her and I said, what the heck? I can't, she goes, it wasn't for him. Making those amends was not for him. And later on the radio show, he admitted that had that amends letter gone to him at that point, he would have used it against me. And I'm so grateful that things happen exactly the way they're supposed to. I'm grateful to know that if I've hurt someone's feelings, I don't necessarily need to face them. I can take responsibility for something energetically, and it still is amends. It's still beautiful. So yeah, as it comes to my responsibility, a lot of men will say to me, I can't believe you admit that you were abusive. I'm glad to be in a program that teaches me to be responsible 100% for those things. Because I personally, you can't change what you don't acknowledge, or what I can't acknowledge. I can't change those things. And now that I know what wasn't healthy, I can take responsibility and say, hey, I was doing the best that I knew how at the time. And now I'm going to move forward. I'm gonna move forward. Don't ever look. I have a quote that I say is, "Don't ever look back unless you're looking back to see how far you've come." So thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Sonia.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi. Thanks for your service. Well, I know for me, looking at what I could do differently, and something you said about being a victim or being grandiose, but to try to be in that medium place. And I walked into the dinner last night late after driving 5.5 hours, and there was a couple other people walking in, but I was asked for my ticket. Where is your blue ticket? And I was like, oh my God, they know I'm poor. They know I come from poverty. They think I'm stealing, all this stuff. And I didn't know all that. In the moment, I thought, this person's being a jerk. Look at all those people over there. How about their tickets, I said. And then what happened was I talked to my sponsor. I did an inventory. And thank God, she was able to tell me, this is your stuff. This triggered your past, your childhood. That they are seeing this poverty child with the roaches and food stamps. And that I could do all that in one day and just love this person and know that they're being of service and not have a resentment. So I was either being victimized or they're being a police person. It was either that or that. It wasn't just like, I'm triggered, I need to feel these feelings, and then be in God's grace. But this stuff used to make me frozen for months. So I'm just so grateful for my abstinence and for the spiritual part of the program. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Beth, and I have a question for Pamela. I feel responsibility is an important piece of my recovery. And where is that balance of taking responsibility and staying in a situation to change myself and stay in that situation versus getting out of a toxic situation? And where do you draw the line between what is healthy or unhealthy, or get out of the relationship or change your job? Or just curious if you have any thoughts or experience, or anybody else want to share on that.
Well, I think, first of all, use your sponsor to help you, and use other program people. Talk about the situation and get other points of view. It's really important to, if you're feeling that something is not right, sometimes it's hard to know if it's you or if it's the other person or the other, the event that's taking place. So get more informed. Tell people what's going on. Use phone calls. You know, they're so helpful sometimes, and especially if you have phone lists and you don't know the people very well, they don't know who you are either. So you can be, have anonymity even on a phone call. It's really good. You know, this program, there's no easier, softer way here, you know. Those are the kind of things that we deal with here, but what's great is you're thinking about them and we're dealing with them. And use all, you know, all the tools you can to work, and if you can identify a situation that's bothering you, there's hope, you know, because you can work on it. If you can't identify it, if you don't know what's going on and you don't look, if you don't look for it, you can't find it. So, as I say, this program is not, you know, not the easier, softer way, but it's the way that works. And if you're willing to do the work, if you're committed, willingness is being able to walk through fear. Willingness is being ready. Now is the time. And if not now, when? I guess is the question I always have for you. If not now, when are you going to be ready? Is it going to be, I think I'll start on Monday? Well, why wait till Monday if you're committed to it? If you're committed, start now. Find somebody to help you. There's sponsors out there on the wall, I hear. There's sponsors in this room that'll take you on, I guarantee it. There's, if you are struggling with something, go to work. Go to work on it. That's my best advice that I can give you. That's from my own experience, that's what works. And confronting your, you know, I was always afraid that if I went and talked to somebody, one of my great fears is I stuffed feelings all my life. And when I decided to do this program, I stopped stuffing those fears with food. And I was the emotions just rose right up to my neck. And they float out. They still do. I mean, after 18 years in program, I still am a nanosecond away from starting to cry. So for me to go and confront somebody and sit there across them and tell them what I was feeling or what I was, you know, what was real for me and it was at the, you know, what was their take on this, it was really scary because in a business situation particularly, it's really hard to go to the boss and say, you know, when you said this, I didn't feel good about it, and I want to know what your meaning was behind it. If it's just something I'm taking on that really isn't mine, or do you have a problem with me? And when you do that, it's amazing sometimes what kind of answers you get, you know. But for me, it was so scary because I was afraid I would cry when I went to confront that with people. And the truth is, I've learned I can cry and talk at the same time. So, yes, I would prefer not to be so emotional, but emotion can also be a gift, you know, a gift and a curse, you know? So I've just learned to live with my emotions, and when they come, they come. And so, you know, if you aren't feeling good about something, figure out how to fix it in a positive way, in a program way. Use all your tools. Talk to people. Go to meetings. Share what your feeling is. And it's a miracle. This program is a miracle for me. Someone who never talked about feelings, didn't know how, to be able to say to people, hold on. This is my take on this. Do you have a different take? You know, it's scary as hell, but such a relief when you find out the real answer. I mean, if they do have a problem, then you get another problem. If they don't have a problem, hey, that's really great. You know, I'm so happy. So I'm going to leave you with that. I only promised to do an hour, and it's an hour and 5 minutes, but that's thanks to you, all of you who shared. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them or stay around.